Good afternoon, and thank you for being here. I'll be talking about predictors of HIV-related knowledge and risk behaviors among school-attending teenagers in the Esmeraldas province of Ecuador. I have absolutely no relationships to disclose. And this is a list of our research team based in the US and in Ecuador in different agencies. So I'll be giving a little bit of background to the study, talking about methods, results, discussion and implication, and then ending with strengths and limitations. So globally, 40% of new HIV infections today occur among young population aged 15 to 24 years old. And in the world today, the cohort of young population is the largest ever, which means that the issue of HIV and AIDS is important not just in terms of severity, but also magnitude. And Ecuador is no different. In fact, around 15% of AIDS cases and around 25% of HIV cases in the year 2009 were among youths who are aged 15 to 24 years. And the rates have constantly increased in recent years. However, information about HIV and STI-related knowledge and risk behavior still remains largely unknown, whether it's the national level or through agency reports like UN or WHO, it's still unknown. As you can see in this graph, the rates, the number of cases of both HIV and AIDS surges in the youth age group, which means that if we could aim prevention at this age group, there is potential for curbing the entire epidemic, which is why this issue is so close to our hearts. So why Esmeraldas? Let me tell you a little bit about Esmeraldas. As you can see in this map, Esmeraldas is a small province in Ecuador. However, it's very unique because 45% of the total population is African descendant, which is different than the rest of the country, which is around 7%. So Esmeraldas province is unique. However, it disproportionately holds third highest HIV incidence and second highest AIDS incidence in the country. And just like the entire Ecuador, we know very little about STI and HIV-related knowledge and risk behaviors among youths in this province, which is exactly why we conducted this study, to find out factors which are related to knowledge and risk behaviors. And our target population was aged 14 to 21 years, which is because we aimed at fifth and sixth level students in Ecuador, which translates to 11th and 12th grade in the US. So which is why we got this age group. So we conducted a cross-sectional survey. The instrument was in Spanish. We have descriptive, bivariate, and multivariable level analysis. However, I'll be focusing on multivariable results. So the predictors we used were age, gender, residence, length of stay, family composition, marital status, and employment. And three different outcomes were studied independently. The first one was general knowledge relating to STIs. The second one was comprehensive knowledge of HIV and AIDS. And the last one was risk behaviors. Talking about sampling, there are 6,000 students who attend 69 different schools in Esmeraldas province. However, only 30 of these schools actually serve fifth and sixth level students in the province, which again I mentioned to you earlier translates to 11th and 12th grade. So the headmasters of all of these schools were invited to a meeting wherein the research team provided information about what the study is about, what their participation would entail, and based on how many headmasters were willing to let us go to their schools, the schools were then randomly selected and the students were sent home with information packets. And then the final sample size came out to be 213 because the inclusion criteria was that the students would have to be regular students, not just attending schools like once a month or so. They would have to be regular students. We would have to get informed consent from their parents and also assent from them. So these were the inclusion criteria we used. And finally, they would have to fit into the age bracket of being youth. So majority of our participants were younger. They were between 14 to 17 years old. However, we did have participants aged 18 to 21. Most of them lived in urban parts of the province. Most of them lived with at least one parent. I'm mentioning this to you because living with grandparents or somebody outside the family is also quite common in the province. Majority of them were single, unemployed. However, gender-wise, there was almost a 50-50 split. Now let's talk about the first outcome of our study. We found out that being single, the participants were at increased odds of having higher general knowledge of STIs. And then I would also like to point out that not single here generally actually means married. Even though we say civil union, married, divorced, and separated, there were very few cases, actually just one case. So actually it's just married versus unmarried. Talking about the second outcome, which was comprehensive HIV knowledge, we found out that being younger would have increased odds of having higher comprehensive HIV knowledge. And the third outcome, which was higher risk behaviors, what those results indicated was that not single participants and younger participants were at increased odds of having higher risky behaviors. Now, what do these numbers actually mean? We found out that younger participants were more likely to have higher knowledge, but also higher risky behaviors than their older counterparts. We can look at this finding, dividing it into the knowledge part and risky behavior part. If you look at the knowledge part, one of the reasons why younger participants had higher knowledge could be because they had better retention and recall of information. Because generally, nationally, when you look at 11th to 12th year, 12th level students, they're generally aged between 14 to 17. So the fact that older students were in this classroom could mean that they were failing academically, which was why they were still in those classrooms. So, but this is still an assumption. We need more qualitative research to find out what is actually going on. And looking at risky behaviors, why would younger adolescents would have more risky behaviors? One of the facts I would like to point out is that the measures are all self-reported. And there are a lot of debates about self-reported measures when it comes to sexual behavior. So triangulating these results with responses from parents or caretakers or even health professionals would give additional insight. Nonetheless, we do think that this is a very important finding because it goes towards what is very known in public health today, that just having higher knowledge does not translate into safer, healthy behaviors unless you have behavioral skills to balance that out. And unfortunately, we didn't look at behavioral skills in this study. So for further research, that would be an area we would be looking to explore. The other interesting finding was that not single participants, which I mentioned were generally ever married participants, were more likely to have higher risk sexual behaviors. But then it is kind of logical as well. And one thing new that we did in this study was that we further classified the youth age group into 14 and then 14 to 17 and then 18 to 21, which is not generally what happens when you study behaviors among youth. Everybody is clumped together. So we feel like by further classifying, we could see the differences between older and younger youth in Ecuador, which we think is a new perspective towards the problem. Talking about implications, we do feel like we need a lot of other research and further research to say exactly what is going on and whether we should use these results to actually change prevention interventions or not. So we do need more research to dissect these complex relationships. And assessment of behavioral skills and qualitative study follow-up could be other further new steps. And also including other provinces, because as I mentioned to you earlier, Esmeraldas is very unique, and other provinces do not have the same demographic composition. So conducting a study among other provinces would help to generalize results to entire Ecuador, which was not the purpose of this specific study, but further along, that would be another step. And ultimately, after doing more research and after we have more grounded information, we could suggest or recommend steps to the government so that prevention can be aimed younger and then curb the epidemic ultimately, because that is what the goal is. So the strength of our study is that in the context of having absolutely no information, this study provides solid information about HIV and STI-related knowledge and risk behaviors, and also a more comprehensive lens towards the entire issue. However, the study is also full of some limitations. The first one is that When we looked at behavior, we didn't focus on drug injecting behavior. We just looked at sexual behavior, which was because more than 90% of the transmission of HIV cases in Ecuador happens through sexual route, which is why drug injecting behavior was not included. However, it is still very important. So further on, other research studies should include that. And then, as I mentioned to you earlier, it was all self-reported, so triangulation of results with some other measures would provide better insights. The sample size was fairly small, 213, so with increased sample size, the power would be increased, possibly. And no matter how much you control for variables, there is always a chance of unmeasured confounding. However, we do think that this was a very good first step for Ecuador, and we are looking forward to doing more research and finding more opportunities to extend the horizons of the study. These are some of the references we used for this particular presentation. I would like to thank Sharp Awards of USF, University of South Florida, Universidad San Francisco de Quito, and Senecit of Ecuador. And thank you all for your time.